what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is there is, they're commission salespeople, for one. But it's not like stockbrokers or whatever, or, you know, where the percentage is kind of built into the product. They literally sell stuff for 2 to 3 times. And I always say, I hate explaining this, because we spend a lot of time, I do, talking to people and trying to help them, you know, unwind stuff. It's not uncommon that there's people that are easily persuaded. And as we get older, I don't know what it is, but we tend to become more gullible. And we just see a lot of this stuff where they'll just basically give you products that you're not fully aware of, or they'll deceive you, and then they just charge way, way, way too much. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. We're not in that ballpark. We're not in that arena. We're not in that game. That's not who we are. We've been in business for almost 30 years. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism is our motto. Okay? Now, that's, you might think, well, that's easy to say. You try it. Try opening a business like our business and putting honesty, integrity, and professionalism in your motto. You have to live up to that. Not only that, our facility is one of the finest in the nation. Our business philosophy is one of the finest in the nation. I came into this business with a strong banking background. And, you know, in banking, not, you know, I know banks stink, but they certainly weren't what they are now when I was in it. I got out in the late 90s, basically. I was a regional sales manager for Bank of America. And at that time, I mean, things were a lot more sensible. We hadn't lost our marbles. We hadn't had 911 that changed the whole world. But in that arena, black is black and white is white. And I don't mean that in a racial way, because that's the new perspective. But I mean, everything, you know, you dot your I's and cross your T's. You do things one way, and that's the right way. And that's who we are. It's ethical, above board, and that's what we've always been. And that, in this, folks, my industry has a lot of un- and undereducated people. There's just a lot of guys out there, they're horse trading. And then they become kind of con artists. You get a lot of these boiler room operations where they'll buy lists of people's names that have maybe applied for this or that, or put their name. And be careful giving your name and phone number out at random, folks. If you're ever giving your information up for something, ask yourself, why? Is this necessary? Number one, can you live without it? And then think about, who could these people sell it to? Information is power, and information is money. So be careful when you're giving your name up. And you know another one, do not, when you go to any event, don't sign up for the raffles or give them your name on the little lottery tickets or ticket stubs. That stuff, they may give away something free, but the real reason is to gather your information, and then they sell it, and they use it to sell to you. So you just got to be really careful. Same goes with online. I get so fed up with, you go to these websites and, you know, you start reading an article and then it fades out and there's a button that says read more. So you click the read more button and it says you can read for free. All you have to do is give us your email address and your name and your phone number. And then what do they do? Then they send an email and you got to verify it's you. Now they know it's you. Then they never tell you. They put you on some list where you're going to get so many emails. You don't get a choice up front. And even if you do, if you sign, if you go into your email and you say, I no longer wish to receive this or that, they just shift it over to the next email service or the next company. So just be careful. And I see older folks getting scammed a lot. Why older folks? It's not always the age. It's the fact that you got something. If younger folks have something, a lot of times they're fools. You know, they'll come across money. I see this quite often. You'll see younger folks that'll get, you know, a windfall profit through inheritance or whatever, and they just can't leave well enough alone. They can't let it be, and they have to mess with it until it's gone. I've seen people do this, you know, where they've had medals and it's just not going up enough for them, and then they're in here taking the money out and going to cryptocurrency, and then, you know, and taking the 15% they have left out of that and putting into a stocks. And younger generation has a real hard time just letting time play out. They have a hard time not messing with it, not watching it every day. Why is that? Again, most of the time, the money isn't earned if it's substantial. And you never appreciate something you're given near at the level you appreciate something you earned. So, you know, my whole philosophy in all of this right now, and I've been doing this a long time, and I've been exposed to a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool people, a lot of industry and financial stuff. And I'm telling you, what we do is your best bet financially, better now than ever before. For one, there's nothing else you can buy that is not only anonymous, liquid, 100% tangible, transportable, you know, like I said, confidential, fungible, all of that stuff, and has such a compact nature with just a tiny little margin. It's a true asset. It's like being able, gold, say for example, is like being able to pick up a piece of real estate, not have your name on the title, not have to pay tax on it all the time, and being able to transport it wherever you go, secretly and anonymously. And you can liquidate it anywhere in the world at any time. The difference with real estate is, what happens when you want to sell? First of all, you pay taxes forever. You got to upkeep it, maintain it, all this. But what happens when you want to sell real estate? You have to put it on the market and sit around and wait. And you're dependent on a lot of things. You're dependent on interest rates. You're dependent on market demand. You're dependent on the desirability of the property. Not with gold. Gold is so, and silver, is so liquid that there has never been a day since we opened the doors in the 90s that we have not been actively buying or selling. People will call and say, are you buying gold today? Every day. We're always buying, we're always selling, and our margins are always nationally competitive and tight and fair. What else is like that? Immediately liquid. You got to think about it. And the other thing too, you know, when we have, they're getting harder to get, but we do a lot with pre-33 gold coins. That was the stuff that was legal tender face value before FDR, you know, started his thing. And people call it the gold confiscation, which basically it was a patriotic sellback to the government. And they continued that goal at $20 a troy ounce, roughly, until they estimated they got over 80% of the gold back in. And then they jacked gold up to $35 an ounce. So all that wealth transferred to the United States of America and mostly the Fed. And the loss was taken by the people holding paper. That was phase one. And you look at the country, I mean, you know, the turn of the century into the 20th century, 1900s, you had this big socialist push. And they started to chip away at our system because there was a depression in the 1890s. And all this was used to concoct the Federal Reserve System. So they started the Federal Reserve System in 1913, which was a fraudulent mess. Well, it was brought into law on Christmas Eve of 1913 in an emergency session of Congress with 11 members present. That sound like an emergency to you? Christmas Eve, like, you know, and they, you know, the whole, how they always, everything. You're not going to know what's in it until you pass it, you know, Nancy Pelosi stuff. So then what comes after the Federal Reserve? World War One, the war to end all wars. Well, here we are. Now we've got fiat currency. We can write our checks and pump the money out like it's going out of style. We add the 16th Amendment to the Constitution. The Constitution forbids direct taxation. So they had to, they had to make an amendment to override the Constitution of itself. It also says that all, Coinage Act 1792 and Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, it also says that all money in the United States of America shall be coined in gold and silver. They identify the exact number of grams, like 15 whatever grams, to what they called an eagle. It was 15 grams of gold. That's a $10 gold piece back then. And everything was based off of that. If you had twice that amount of gold, it was a double eagle. If you had half of the 15, it was a half eagle. If you had a quarter of it, obviously, it's a quarter eagle, which was a $2.50 gold piece. And of course, they make all that, you made all that, and we have that stuff around. Same with silver. Then they transfer this over to this private bank corp, which they make sound so great, the Federal Reserve. They had the big plan all the time. The uber rich did it, but they were very, you know, methodical in what they did. So you got the war to end all wars, World War One. Didn't quite do that, did it? That war was a tough war. Technology had gone nowhere. Everything was archaic and junk. It blows my mind how man could be on this earth for thousands and thousands of years, and by that point in time, still be building such garbage. And, you know, just a lack of any technological prowess, I guess, or whatever you want to finesse. That was a brutal war. You see the pictures of the fields burn up, blown up, just terrible, right? Dark, you know, we were still are, but we were struggling with all kinds of antibiotics and infections. So then what happens? Then we come back home. And we're in America now, and we start the roaring 20s. And basically, the early 20s was kind of a time when we were cheap and we were just very conservative in our spending. And then the Fed starts to release money. How do they release money? Loans. Historically, all these lending policies were private. There was a lot of stuff that could be done to you. Even then, the laws were loose. One day late, they can foreclose. Interest rates, no regulation. So they start lowering interest rates and making money easy to get. Then what happens? You get the roaring 20s. So money just starts flowing like water, which now is the same thing when you have Biden just pumping trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars out there. It's the same thing. They're, instead of incentivizing people to borrow money, which is the only way a dollar can be made through the Fed, instead of that, they pump it all through the government programs so they get the first use of the money. Interesting, the government doesn't have to pay tax, right? So they get 100% use. And then they hire people or subs and all this to do the work. Now the taxation starts coming. They're getting it all back. But that guy, you know, you get builders and you get, you know, professionals, and they're being hired by the government. And, of course, military is amazing. They pump tons of money into the military-industrial complex so that they're, you know, not, there's so much kickbacks and handouts and that stuff, folks. Don't lie to yourself. It's out of control. So the money starts going down the ladder. And what happens is government gets free use 100%. The people they pay have to pay income tax, hypothetically, they're supposed to. And then they get a percentage remainder. And then what's of that remainder, they spend. Then what happens? The next guy pays tax. And then he spends it. And the next guy pays tax. So that government gets back every penny that they issue. Do you realize that? Every penny comes back. And they have what's called the velocity of money. That's the rate at which the government gets its money back. So whenever you hear this, we need to raise taxes to pay for this and that. No, they're raising taxes to increase the velocity of money so that the general public doesn't get a good use out of it. It goes straight back to the government. They create $1 trillion and then they pay for all these stupid programs and overpay medical during COVID, etc. All that money, in one form or another, ends up in a bank. And you might go, no, Kevin, you know, this company has to buy supplies. Okay, what's the supplier do with the money? Well, first, the company that gets it first puts it in the bank, and then they transfer it to the supplier. And the supplier puts it to their bank, and then the supplier, you know, pays the next. It all ends up in the bank, and it's all being diminished via taxation. Every single penny they create goes back in taxation. So you can't think that it's justifiable. They have all the money. What do they do with it? They blow it. So the Fed made money easy to get. Loan. Now they play that a little bit, but right now the money's coming through the system hard. That is a radical left-wing communist approach too that Biden's administration does. You don't get first use of the money. When you borrow the money, not that it's good to borrow, but then you get first use. A loan's not taxable, right? I mean, if you go borrow $100,000 for a business, as you pay it back, it's not taxable. In fact, it's tax deductible, the interest. So they don't want you to have that. They want them to have that. So as that money started flowing to the system in the roaring 20s, and I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I would love to have lived during the roaring 20s. Why? An absolute limitation on regulation. We had not absolutely lost our minds with this concept that this isn't fair, that's not fair, that's inequitable. We need more regulations. We need bigger fines. We need harsher sentences, all this stuff. You had a lot of freedom back then, but then, of course, they had to add in prohibition. Why would that be? Well, because alcohol's a sin, Kevin, and it really was destroying society. And no. That's what they use to push it. But what they do is they gaslight a group or groups of people like Black Lives Matter, Antifa, you know, the women's suffrage movement for prohibition. They gaslight them and they get them fighting like dogs to do their work. Why would they do that? Control. Because that gave them the ability to look into people's lives and books and all this kind of stuff. You got the new Federal Reserve Act in place. You got the new tax laws in place from the 16th Amendment. Now they want reasons to go after people. And so you get, that was the one thing that kinked up the real roaring 20s. And then you get the speakeasies. And tons of people, folks, were doing it. And here's the thing. Just because something's legal does not make it right. And just because something's illegal does not make it wrong. The speakeasies were packed to the brim. And they were known and they were overlooked and, you know, police would look away, but they could always use it against you. just like different data gathering of money and stuff. They're not going to use it now, but if they ever have to come after you, they'll use it against you. So that created a war. It created a need for public funding through the Fed, right? But also, they were pumping up the stock market for the first time ever. You know, J.P. Morgan, who started the Federal Reserve, also started the Dow Jones. He had his hand on that, and a number of other people. And they pushed and pushed money into the markets and pushed the stock market through the roof. Money was coming out fast, not through the government initially, hypothetically, but through the people. And they pumped this economy up. And there's a lot of cool stuff from the Roaring Twenties. They just didn't have the technology. But a lot of the clothes, you know, men would dress up super classy. This is where you get some of the most beautiful homes were built back east. Spectacular quality. You know, the textiles, the everything. It just was a neat time. And a lot of, even some of the real luxury knockoff cars, which there was hundreds over the years of brands you've never heard of. But anyway, so that was a good time. And then, boom, the Fed retracts the currency. How? Tightening up lending policy, raising interest rates, and like I said, tightening up the policy, and then creating foreclosures, acceleration clauses in the loans, etc. And then, boom, you get the crash of 29, the big dump, where guys are literally skydiving out of skyscrapers because they lost it all. And they knew. They got caught up in this easy game. They thought, all of this is constructed by the Fed and our government. Then here we go. We let that marinate and settle in, and times they get tough. We roll into 33. We get FDR as president, radical communist. He tries to push through the New Deal, which is nothing more than the 10 planks of communism. Seriously. It keeps getting shot down by the Supreme Court. He threatens to pack the court, which is where Biden got this, take the, you know, the 9 members and make it 15 so you can skew the court. These are crazy radical left-wing things. So finally, the third attempt at the New Deal was rewritten, this, that, and the other. And basically, it was the same thing, light. It was like communist, or the Communist Manifesto, or the 10 Planks of Communist light. And so here we go. Now we got the New Deal. We got the CCC, which is, you know, the government becomes the number one employer in the U.S. It grows in budget by thousands and thousands of multiples. Thousands, multiples. Not 1,000%, but a multiple of thousands. And then we get to this. All the money goes to the government. First, they keep jacking tax rates higher and really, really, really high on the uber rich, to the point where the high tax bracket over like 200 grand a year was 94%. FDR used it against his political opponents. He used it as leverage. So he gets in real tight with 12 of the major newspaper companies in the U.S., which controlled all of it, and the radio companies. He creates the Fair Deal, the Fairness Act, where he says that every station has to have, like, say American Christian Network's a Christian station. 24/7 Christian information. No, Fairness Act says you need to dedicate 50% of your time to opposing views. I knew a guy who died probably 8 years ago at 102. His dad owned the largest Christian radio station on the West Coast in San Francisco. He went back with his dad to meet with FDR to discuss the Fairness Doctrine, is what it was called. Got to go right into the Oval Office of the White House and argue with FDR about it. Didn't help. Shut him down. Put him out of business. Screwed up his radio station at SET. Obama tried to reenact that bill here when he was president. So FDR keeps us in the Depression. He does this Biden-esque stuff where, you know, he's basically lowering the standards, lowering pay. Everyone's poor, barely got enough to live on, working for the government. He, you know, to his behest, the only thing is he did develop some interesting infrastructure, like dams, bridges, things like that. Railroad stuff, but it all benefited the government, okay? So then we're in this dark time. Everyone's dependent on the government. And then we roll into the 40s, and what do we get? We get World War II. And they say World War II got us out of that, but it didn't. It did, and it didn't. The thing was, is it was an excuse to start spending more money. And we knew we were getting in. There's false flag events. I won't get into all that stuff. They knew when Pearl Harbor was bombed, and there was, you know, the war was already raging around the world. When we had Pearl Harbor slaughtered, we had our entire fleet, Pacific Fleet, in that harbor, lined up like ducks in a row at a shooting gallery. Never before and never since have we ever done that. We set it up. We got messages from Midway and all this stuff. They were coming. We knew days before. There's documentation that we knew days before that they were coming. And, of course, all science and history, all real history, says Roosevelt looked the other way because he wanted to get into World War II. World War II starts, and the money starts going hardcore, hardcore, hardcore. And then he's now in his fourth term. Four terms. First president ever to do more than two. Two was a given. It was a fact. Washington started it. Jefferson, everyone. He's in his fourth term because he controlled all the radio and all the newspapers and radio stations as well. He'd have every week his fireside chat. The family'd gather around the radio and listen to FDR. People didn't even know he was in a wheelchair. Not that it matters, but it's just interesting how things have changed with visual. And then he dies in 46, I think it was. Immediately, both the entire Congress, the House and the Senate, immediately gather together and pass a firm constitutional amendment that says two terms max. They were terrified. Both sides went through 100% unanimous. They were all terrified because he controlled. They couldn't beat him. They couldn't do anything. He did what he wanted, when he wanted, and how he wanted. Scary. Very, very scary. So they did that. And so basically, I was trying to look something up. It's hard to do both. I'm going to see when he died. I don't want to be wrong here because 45, which makes sense because he died in April of 45, and then guess what? Oh, World War II is over in September of 45. He kept that bad boy rolling. He was real good at it because it kept him in control. It made him powerful, and he could keep controlling all this money and on and on and on and on. It's set. So now you got the 40s. During the 40s, women went to work because the guys were gone. So they said, hey, patriotic ladies, come to work. Help us out. We need uniforms. We need textiles. We need upholstery. We need all kinds of stuff for the war. You name it. They needed it. So women went to work. Well, men come home from the war and they start to go to work as well. Now you got the very beginning of the two-income family. Not all of them stayed that way. It was still very nuclear home stuff. But a lot of them were engaging in this. And then by the 50s, you start to see, if you look at parts of town here, you'll see what I call World War II neighborhoods. There are these teeny little tiny houses, the absolute bare minimum to meet everyone's needs. Tight lots, tight homes, basic structures. The 50s, you start to see a little flair coming back. You know, you start to see two cars in the driveway because of the two-income home. And then as time goes on, that becomes more and more necessary. The energy and the technology. So World War II, we learned a lot about technology and products, and the Germans had beat us in most ways as far as equipment and technology. So we started really working on things in the 50s. We started building some pretty cool cars. You look at cars from the 40s and cars from the 50s, you see a drastic change. You start to see things really change. And then what happens in the 60s? The 60s come. Now we've got the baby boomers types. We've got the World War II babies. Guys come home, their wives get pregnant, they start having kids. You got two things going on. You got the guys that were in World War II now are working in various industries, and we're believing we can do anything. We're doing, you know, shooting for the moon and a lot of interesting technology. There's a lot of weird stuff that got shot down by like the big three with cars, like turbine motors and all that I won't get into. But we really believed in ourselves in the 60s. We were doing some pretty cool stuff. But at the same time, we had the, what do you want to call it? The sexual revolution or whatever it is. And you started to see morality decline. We get a little better, you know, lifestyle, and we start to see the morality decline. Why? Frankfurt School, there's just a lot of outside communist influence. In fact, during the McCarthy era, which is the 50s when they were studying all these, you know, they were accusing the White House, especially under FDR, of being filled with communists. And they mocked them and scoffed them. And I'll tell you what, folks, the New York Times has enabled every filthy, vile thing through history. They call it the paper of record. And there's a book that just came out called The Gray Lady Winks. And he goes through, it's horrendous what they did with the Holocaust. And on it goes, right? And so you got the 60s, you got the morality eruption. We go into the 70s and we've got, you know, we're going into it with a good head of steam. I mean, we really were. And then all of a sudden, what, you know, cool cars and planes and stuff are getting pretty cool. And then all of a sudden we get, I think Nixon ends the gold standard, even though, you know, they didn't want you to own gold coins during that time. And then the oil game begins. After World War II, I think that was what 46 was the Bretton Woods Act, where they made everyone in the world use the dollar as the petrodollar. It was the only currency that oil could trade in globally, and you know what that's all about. So the 70s, we go off the gold standard, we get hyperinflation, we get the OPEC scandal, and inflation goes wild. Starts to just take us down hard. And then what happens in the 80s? Junk. Everything in the 80s is junk. The cars, the Reliant K car, you know, in the 60s, the Corvette was up to 465 horse. And by the 80s, it was 240. And it was just garbage. Everything was just cheap junk because it was too expensive. We lost hope. I mean, it just, we were building stuff at home. The taxes and regulations were too high. etc. So the 80s was the garbage era. The 90s continued that, and then we got the dot-com craze, which was fueled by international currency, primarily Japanese money. I'm trying to hurry through this. So at the end of the 90s, you get this big economic or this stock market dump. But during it, what happens is we have such an influx of currency from Japan and other countries. We at one point had enough money to pay off the Fed, to abolish the Fed and go back on a gold standard or even a U.S. legal tender standard. You jump back. Kennedy tried that. He had an executive order that actually was issued and has never been attended to abolish the Fed and put and create legal tender notes. That's why he was killed. Clinton wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole because he knew he was an insider. Then we get the dot-com craze. Money's flying left and right. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Boom. We get Enron scandals, the Fortune 1 company, the biggest, best in the world, is a fraud from day one. Everything's fake. Boom, down it goes. The IRS and FBI start investigations on over 100 companies. Arthur Andreessen, the largest accounting firm in the world, 260,000 employees, goes under because they're cooking the books for Enron, and investigation shows they're doing it for a lot of other people. FBI and IRS start investigations, and what happens? 9/11, boom, down we go. Bad. Now we're international, and it's all a setup. Two trade towers go down. The guy had just increased his insurance to a 4x payout per building collapse. 10 hours later, World Trade Center building number 7 goes down, and of course, the Pentagon supposedly gets hit. There's no plane. Folks, if you use your head, people that don't buy into this, go watch 911 Mysteries on YouTube. It's going to be way down, and there's a ton of false bait all the way down. But it's like an hour and 40 minutes, and when you start it, it'll show an old TV going, shh, and a guy's face will pop up on it. The real movie, 911 Mysteries, you got to watch it. There's no way a plane hit the Pentagon. I mean, a 747 hits the Pentagon at ground level. No knockout for wings, engines, nothing. No shrapnel from a plane and no bodies. They say they vaporized. Get over it. It was a missile. There's witnesses that said they saw a missile. You can watch a movie called Loose Change, etc. But those two hits, that destroyed. They just remodeled the Pentagon, and Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of the Defense Department, had gone to Congress September 10th of 2001, emergency meeting to tell him that the Department of Defense had lost $2.4 trillion. They were going to start looking for it. And the two locations of record keeping was that part of the Pentagon that had just got destroyed and World Trade Center building number 7, which hadn't even been hurt, etc. So we go through the 2000s, and now the police state's coming on. They're increasing us, and then we go on, we start to get the 20-teens, where all of a sudden we're getting all this morality stuff, and now we've got the COVID, and I don't want to spend more time on that, but it's just been an ongoing process in this nation, and sorry I took so long on that, but it's interesting to comprehend that. Like I said, precious metals, privacy, not confiscatable, it's yours. No serial numbers. They're immediately liquid anytime at any place in the world. Transportable, tiny premiums. There's nothing else out there like that. You can buy and sell on thin fractional margins if you deal with someone honest like us. And metals have artistic and historical significance. Obviously, they're rare, and God said they're rare, and He said they're money. It's compact, portable wealth. Okay, so basically, I'm going to move on here. We've been kind of touching on some stuff that I've been day after day kind of talking about. So I'm going to try to rattle trap some of the stuff we've been talking about. But here we go. Today I was watching $120 billion have already been given to Ukraine But he won't let us, or Biden will not approve us to upgrade our own defense systems. Folks, this is because of, it's a great big Ponzi scheme. It's a great big payout. It's, the corruption is so bad, you can't even begin to imagine. It's so bad, and it's not going to get better, and it includes Republicans too. Lindsey Graham and these guys, they're all in on it. I was listening today that, you know, they're, Tony Blinken, we're depleting our military stockpiles for Ukraine. Janet Yellen, the prior Fed Reserve chairwoman, stupider in a post, says that the payouts to Ukraine will continue indefinitely. I mean, this is worse than another Vietnam, folks. And they say, well, inflation's higher than they thought, so rates are going up and up and up. They're going to put the brakes on everything, folks. You know, when interest rates went way up at the end of the 70s and early 1980, silver went from the equivalent of about $2 an ounce to $50 an ounce at the end. But that was temporary. Right now, the only thing you can truly secure your wealth in is hard assets, precious metals. The markets are stretched. They're blown out. I said a while ago, I've always said for a long time, the markets will crash up. What do you mean, Kevin? Everyone's going, it's going to crash. It's going to crash. Well, hyperinflation is crashing it every day. COVID, you close your eyes, you didn't know what's going on. They took your money. They took your spending power. The cost of things now is unbearable. You know, when you got Biden out there, I mean, this guy's gone. Gonzo. Says he's saving democracy. They keep saying, this is a threat to democracy. We're saving democracy. How? I mean, I was just thinking today, Afghanistan, China, Iran, upcoming Taiwan that China's invading. I was listening to this. You know, CNN won't report this, but they were allowed to go on a U.S. Navy plane over the South China Sea. They were intercepted by Chinese fighter jets that said, look, which China does not own, by the way. And they're intercepted by Chinese jets, and they hear over the radio that said, if you proceed, you're doing it at your own risk. You could be shot down, and so on and so forth. The Navy pilot says to the CNN reporter, they made a comment, and he goes, it's just another day over the Chinese Sea, the South China Sea. Because this is what they're doing to everyone all the time. They are on a roll, okay? Through people I know with strong military information, those supposed balloons that were floating around into our country that Biden was too cowardice to deal with, they weren't balloons. They were massive, hollow, polycarbonate structures. And inside of them, they have huge drone blades and helium. So they can use the helium to get up to 100,000 feet above sea level. They can adjust height, and then they can maneuver with the blades. And they shot one down publicly as an act of theater, basically. But they've captured others that we're not aware of, and that's where they've discovered, and again, I've gotten this from super reliable sources, that these are designed for an EMP, electromagnetic pulse bomb. When that goes up, all electric's gone. You need to be prepared. I'm very uncomfortable with this. That's why they say fighter jets near the border of Montana, like hornets. Because if they release an EMP bomb over Montana, Montana houses 95% of our nuclear missile population. I grew up there, and there's nuclear missile silos all over the place. One EMP, poof, everything's fried. We no longer have nukes. That's what China knows. And then they invade. There's so much biblical prophecy that could make this real. Again, you fry all that, you're not getting at anything electronic, period. And all these people like, oh, you know, Bitcoin, crypto's really good stuff because you can access it anywhere at any time, as long as you have access. God made gold and silver money, period. Our founders knew it. It is what it is. Genesis 2, God said it was good. Taub, the best of the best of the best of the best. And it's been the economic pinnacle throughout all of written human history. Pinnacle form of wealth. All the way from Egypt to Israel to Solomon to Babylon is the reason they hit them. You know, all the way. Christ, not only did he use it, recommend it, but he also, it was his first gift. You go all the way through the Bible, gold, 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 and silver, silver, silver. Get to the end, chuck it in the streets because the party's ending now. It's tough. You can't chuck your CBDCs in the street, central bank digital currency. They're coming fast, folks. I mean, all these other countries have pilot programs. We have pilot programs. I'm telling you, what do you have to lose by transferring all your wealth into hard assets? I would liquidate 401ks and IRAs now, 100%.
Well, the taxes, Kevin.
Well, you're either going to die without the money, or if you don't, you're going to pay the taxes anyway. There's no transfer of value. You know, like real estate, you can do a transfer upon death. You can't do that with 401k or IRA. It's 100% based on the date of death, and the full taxation comes out then and there, period. There's no way around it. The IRS always wins. But if you have your money in God's money, if you have your wealth in God's money, you don't have anything to worry about. You're going to pay the tax anyway. Get over it. We had a guy call yesterday that picked up a couple hundred thousand through an inheritance, and he wanted to put it in a Roth IRA. And we explained why not. You just take your money, hand it over. Now you're subject to undue taxes, undue fines, penalties if you take it out early, et cetera, et cetera. Our taxation system is progressive. That is prescribed specifically by Karl Marx in his 10 Planks of Communism. I think it's number one or number two. It's actually number two, if you know what I mean. So you got all this stuff going on around the world. Obama, if you remember, Biden does nothing when we get threatened by China. If you remember, Obama let Iran seize a Navy ship and bring all these guys, sit them down, point guns at them, made some of them cry, beat them up, threw them around, and made them make statements on film that were bad, I'll just say, etc. Biden is devastating the dollar, devastating it. There's only one thing, folks. The only thing that's lasted for all of written human history is precious metals. I mean, you can say real estate, but at the same time, if you have to flee, which has happened countless times throughout history, you ain't bringing it with you. New leadership takes it. You look at Cuba, Venezuela, earlier Mexico, all these South American countries, European countries, they come in, take it all. It's not yours. Precious metals last, and they go with you. I know of people, and there's one guy that used to talk to us a lot, this Latvian Jew, that he saved 13 family members and himself with his family in World War II by having gold and using the Underground Railroad for 1,000 miles to get out. He said, if cash, you got shot in the head. I know a guy, the same thing happened in Vietnam when they were finally letting the North back in. He's been throwing out, Biden's been throwing out, you know, all these crazy executive orders. Karine Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is, the black lesbian that looks like a fake doll. Everything is judged by diversity. He's got the most diverse staff. He's got more women and more gays and more lesbians and more transgenders than ever, ever before. Well, geez, I wonder why they're failing miserably. What difference does it make? You know, you get this transgender stealing bags at the airport, and they say, but they were so diverse, don't harass them. Then you have Pete Buttigieg. Gig, G-E-I-G in German means to ram or shove, figure it out. B-U-T-T-I, gig. And he's gay. We've got the runaway FBI and DOJ doing the dirty work of the White House. Joe Biden is the Manchurian candidate. He was concocted to just fit in this slot and do the dirty work of the new communist regime for the CCCP, China. And then I just read, government study, 21% of electric car chargers are unusable. 21% of electric car chargers are unusable. How's that? Good government work there. And they say, you know, they want everyone to have an electric car. Well, we're getting a shortage of electricity. Charging them takes too long. It's like 2.5 hours. And then they say 50% of the chargers are unrepairable if and when they break, or if someone just decides to trash them, or if an EMP goes off. So just, you know, stay away from paper. Take my word. And by the way, I always do this a little later, but 509-444-0044. Give us a call. It's easy, folks. It's not tough. We do this for a living. We've done a tremendous amount over the years, and more now than ever, and we take superbly good care. We build portfolios. We have a substantial inventory, I'll just say that. And we hand select everything. We give you the best stuff that's non-reportable, non-taxable, 100% liquid, totally respectable, at the very best national wholesale pricing you can get. Wholesale. That's what we do. We make a few percentage points and just keep on rolling. We're here for the Lord. America's a great country, but it's under massive duress. We've got radical communists, lefties taking over, ignoring the Constitution. We've got wide open borders. That's just the greatest insanity I've ever seen. It's out of control. We have a real deep state. Our national government was never designed to be the size it is today. FDR thankfully brought that on. We got the COVID mess that they've used to accelerate this whole thing. We're totally, you know, we're being controlled on all of our information through the media of various sources, the vaccine lies, fake pandemic. You know, they've dismantled the middle class. They've dismantled small businesses. It's all setting us up for the big, big whopper. The next pandemic, Biden's already handed it off to the World Health Organization to control it. No problem there, huh? Give me a break. Social media companies are out of control. We've got mass, you know, mayhem and chaos. Obama's still got his fingers in everything. And the UN is overseeing a lot of this stuff. They're 85% of the members are Muslim or Muslim sympathetic. Biden is, like I said, turning everything over to the WHO. The only true answer, folks, is God in the Bible, common sense and logic that he gave you. The central bank digital currency, CBDC, is coming fast. Japan, China, Iran, Russia, and so on, they're already implementing it. They're starting to track all the unvaccinated for future travel passports. And I wish I had time to cover this. This was, darn it, I am out of time, aren't I? Golly darn it, golly darn it. Okay, that's a bummer. So so I'll basically just say this. We are in a situation where they're tracking the unvaccinated, and it's, you know, they say, oh, they're not going to do this and they're not going to do that, but other countries will, other companies will, everyone's going to be implementing this stuff at a rate you can't even imagine. I mean, we've got, you know, the January 6th nightmare. I could go on and on. I'm out of time. We are the largest producer of gas and oil. He's ruining that. I've just got so much stuff here, I don't have time to even cover it. So I'm just telling you, folks, be wise. And here's the other thing. If you want a couple silver dollars, go online, you know, Google and Yahoo or whatever, Yelp. Give us 5-star, 3 5-star reviews. based on business, not just baloney. It's got to be an experience you've had with us. Give us a call. We'll verify it, and we'll get the two silver dollars to you. We appreciate you doing that. We do that because it's not natural. People expect something good. If they get it, that's what they expected, and that's what we provide. Please protect your finances. Let us assist you. We're good at it. Have a beautiful weekend. God bless. Bye-bye.